Louis Saha, he played 20 times for France. He pulled on some of the most famous shirts in world football. Manchester United, Tottenham, Everton. He was part of squads that won the Premier League, Champions League, Football League Cup. He was a gifted striker. He blended bullish target man traits with explosive pace, excellent technique, and he scored 124 goals for club and country over a 16-year professional career that included the 2006 World Cup. And it's a great pleasure to have him on the show for the all-new Kia Sportage, which has been unleashed. Louis Saha, hello. Welcome to SEN. We might have his microphone muted there, actually. We might need to unmute his microphone. Louis, have you got us now?
That's better now, yes. I'm good.
Welcome to SEN, Louis. Where do we find you?
I'm in south of France. I needed a son after 15 years in England. I'm sorry.
Well, magnificent. That's not a bad move in our book, I wouldn't have thought. How do you look back on your career, Louis? It is hard to summarise a person's life in a 10 or 15-minute chat, but satisfaction for you, some regrets, some amazing highs, some real lows, of course, due to injury and eligibility at the worst possible times in some of those seasons. But how do you look back on it all collectively?
Privilege. The word is privilege because, yes, I was in love with my sport, and I had the chance to play with the big players, big managers, play for my country. So along the line, you have the disappointment, and that's part of the journey. I really cherish that. So I think I can only say privilege because, as I said, I managed to have the people who like to be on my place. So very lucky.
I think you're still the owner of the fastest FA Cup goal in history, aren't you? 25 seconds, 2009 final against Chelsea playing for Everton. Must have been a pretty amazing moment.
Yes, the moment is unbelievable. But I want back. This is one of the regrets because I would have preferred to score the last 25 seconds of the game, you know, basically, and not holding any record. So yes, a special moment because arriving in the FA Cup final is just amazing, but you know, this record doesn't mean much for me, you know, really.
Can I ask you, Louis, about the start? I want to go right back to the start of your career because just reading about you, and I'm fascinated with your journey. Your father was a mechanic, your mum was a nurse, she's come from a pretty basic upbringing, not a lot of money floating around, things were pretty tough for you. And then you arrive on the scene and those checks start rolling in, the paydays start arriving, and what that does to your life. And how did that sit with you and your family, and what sort of changes did that make in a hurry?
In a very, very quick way to explain, it does, let's say, you have to understand the process because those things happen so fast. You are not educated. The parents are not very prepared either. So you get that sensation that you have now some kind of like power over your parents or whatever, like your entourage, and they understand straight away. So they protect you in certain ways. They talk to you in a certain way. It's a different education because it's so fast, and they don't want to make mistakes, and they don't want to upset you. So all this is like kind of like creation of a bubble that it's not sometimes very, very good for your development. So it was great as well because it's all about that kind of excitement. You know, it's brilliant. You know, football players, when they experience that, it's just great. You know, into your blood, so much emotion. We love that. But at the same time, in terms of like family, in terms of like the friendship, it changed things, you know, a little bit. So it was a roller coaster.
The Premier League, Louis, that you touch on there, I mean, you caught the eye of Manchester United. You went on to play at all the clubs I mentioned. The money is huge, the fame, the scrutiny as well, the traps that come with playing in that league. I mean, what was it like, life in the fast lane, when you're absolutely at your peak in the Premier League?
Yeah, it was a dream come true first. You're awake and you see things that you dreamed, and you realize that it's totally real. You've seen it before, but you really enjoy and trying to enjoy everything, but the pressure was on. But I think that everything was coming naturally because I was working really hard for it. It hasn't like land on me and just like oh yes, it's a He's got a great left foot, you know. All this came down to hard work and dedication. So I had to focus a lot and forget what I've done in terms of success, whatever. I scored a goal. I needed to keep my place. So my aim, if I wanted to improve every day, it was to really keep my focus. So on the same time, I say all this emotion and having a sense of purpose, it's to be the best you can, you know, you can be. I was at the end of my career, I realized that I didn't enjoy as much. I should have like really opened my eyes a bit more and really take the time to, enjoy and be a kid as much as I could. That's the focus, the drive that you need. And at the same time, you need to have the right balance. So it's brilliant. So that's why I feel like I don't have any regrets. It's more frustration. Frustration is it's part of facing a big opponent or strong opponent and lose. It happens, but it's nothing to do with regrets because I never cheated or done something bad to anybody. So I'm pretty straightforward on that.
What's your recollection like of individual goals or patches of your career? Because we've got some former cricketers, if you said, tell us about wicket 220, they can tell you who it was, where it was, and give you all the details and all the tale that comes with it.
Yeah, best goal.
Yeah, are you like that? Are you you scored over 120-odd goals throughout your career. Are you, if I said to you, where did you score goal 50, would you have any idea where it was and the story behind it?
No, I don't. As I said, this is where, in some way, I try to protect my myself in holding all these emotions. So I didn't want to build up and make a fuss about it. I felt like I was gifted and privileged and at the same time lucky. And for that, my tool and my process was to really enjoy working hard. And it's really strange, but it bring some kind of like focus that it was amazing for me. I didn't have any doubts at the time because apart from my injuries. When you work hard, when you study well, you get your diploma. And I felt like it was a bit the same. So I enjoyed this more the journey than actual like goals and trophies because I say, oh, look at how much work I've done. And that's why that was my mentality. So, of course, it would have been better to have like a kind of like combination and really enjoy the actual moment. But I was not the type.
Louis, at Everton, you shared a locker room with Tim Cahill, who is widely considered one of the best footballers our country has produced. What was it like sharing the locker room with Timmy?
Funny. Funny first because he's a great lad. And at the same time, again, I speak about hard working. The guy is a machine and I really enjoy competing with him, play with him. And on the same time, the actual kind of like awareness, like he's not live in a bubble in a way that he was aware of people, he was aware of his country, he was aware of like how to improve things. So I really like that. I think it's a role model for many. So my time in Everton was something special. But after we keep really a good relationship because of that, because he's down to earth and he's try hard to do whatever to improve the society. So I really like the guy.
We have to ask you about Sir Alex Ferguson. I'm sure you get asked about this all the time. One of the biggest figures in the game, of course, certainly in the Premiership. What was it like playing under the king of stoppage time, wasn't he, Sir Alex Ferguson? What was it like playing under him?
Yeah, no, it was amazing because it was not just a coach or manager. It was like a mentor, someone who you can really rely on and get really on a very easy way advices that you can keep for life. So, you know, like you really get responsibility, courage, values, understanding about the kind of risk you have to take in life. But on the same time, you have to really be focused on hard work. It's not about just talent and all that. So all this was amazing because I keep that in my pocket today. So it was amazing. But I've got so many stories about him personally, especially when we were winning trophies and having a sense of like accomplishment. This guy was not satisfied. He always like think about improvement, dedication, about how we can improve and work harder or better. So this focus, it was amazing for me.
Can you describe to us from the outside looking in that just dream of these sorts of moments, that first goal at Old Trafford and just the noise? I think would it have been 04, 05 for yourself? What can you let us in a little bit what that was like for you personally?
Yeah, you know, when you look back at those moments, it's like feel natural. Again, it was a lot of hard work the week before. I just signed for the club and had a kind of pre-season, really hard. But straight away, the manager put me straight on the first game play, and it felt natural. And believe me, the sensation is like I've been there before. So it was not just my first game in some strange way. I felt like so connected. The players has like helped me a lot. Took me through it like it was, like as I said, natural. So the noise and the actual connection with the fans was the same. I felt already out there. It's really strange. I really enjoyed it, and I felt like I was already part. So I don't even like remember having, you know, that feeling when you have to sing, you know, like that banter where you're just a new player and you've been asked to sing on the chair. I didn't even do that. So I felt like I was already part of this family. It was just amazing. And I just like had moments after where he made it like really a strong suggestion I will never forget, because it was more in a moment where I was not maybe as good, maybe injured. I felt like the love, it was just amazing. It was just not the noise, it was just proper care.
Louis, you've been busy post your playing career. You now run a successful business that helps other professional footballers, I think, post their careers, doesn't it? It's called Access Stars, and it's a network designed to give, I guess, those involved in sport a place to talk about all those things like insurance, finance, lifestyle, and other career-related topics. This is something that's close to your heart. How's it gone in the last 6 or 7 years?
Yeah, it's a very, very important part of my life at the moment. What I'm saying is like, of course, I've got a family, but I'm dedicated 22, 24 hours of this, because I think that there is so much potential of those guys being well looked after, being empowered in some way, that then they become the best role model, but the best entrepreneurs as well, to have an impact in life. And at the moment where we see that there is some individuals who can do it, there is 98% they count in such a way. The 2%, I would say, that's the big names that you know, that you think that is a benchmark, the Messi, the Ronaldo, the Federer, and all those athletes. But we think that by giving them all the tool, centralized pretty much like all the integrity elements that works and help them to make the right decision, it's really helpful. And I think we want to spread that everywhere in the world.
That's the serious stuff, Louis. I like to go back towards the off-centre stuff. You're sitting in the locker room after the game. You've had a win, or you're in great form, and you've got people like Rooney and Ronaldo and all those guys.
Van Nistelrooy.
Sitting around the edges. And you lock eyes and you're thinking, what happens after games? Do you get to catch up with these people? Do you spend time with them at their venue or going out together? What's that like?
It depends, you know. It's some moments, especially when you have like 2 days to recover, you know, you don't have much time. You know, it's like obviously it's all about recovery. Obviously you enjoy, but as I said, it's all about the next game. So yes, we had moments where we had all those dinners and great kind of like parties, but. I will think that most of the times it was really private, where you do your own things. You actually try to enjoy your family, your own family. So those moments where we really enjoyed was in training grounds. It was like this banter in the hotels, this like kind of the challenges that we all like. And, you know, when you take gambles and say, oh, yes, how many goals is going to score? And all those like moments where you do that with the best players you could ever imagine. So it was just like competitiveness around competitors and to win, and was like, just for me it was a dream, because I came into the game for those moments, really, is to compete with the best, having that kind of like sense of ego that you have to, you know, to master in some way, where we have to show confidence, arrogance sometimes, and on the same times like be a team and an individual that can remain and play. It was just like very, very strong emotionally.
Louis, just a couple of quick ones before we have to let you go. Toughest defender that you played against?
I will say a pair. We asked me a lot this question, but Rio Ferdinand and Vidic. You know, I think, yeah, it's really hard because those guys complement each other. On one-on-one, I was okay.
And the most talented teammate that you ever shared a locker room with?
Oh, teammates. Oh, that's a good question. I think it's Paul Colden. Because, yes, as a teammate alongside Rune, we are the two who really was so important for the team. It was just unbelievable. I really felt connected with those two.
We had a caller ring in before, and he wanted to ask you if there's any truth to this or not. Was there a chance you were going to come out for the FFA Cup and play for the Caulfield Cobras? Do you know anything about that?
In Australia, 2015, 2016, we had a caller ask if that was ever going to happen. Louis, is that news to you, or do you remember that?
So, sorry, what do you mean? It's like somebody...
Yeah, someone called in to the station to say, you're speaking to Louis Sahar shortly. There was a story going around that you might have come out for a one-off appearance for the FFA Cup, which is a competition here in Australia, and play for a team called the Caulfield Cobras.
Ring the bell. It happens to me in Spain, actually, like 2 years ago. In Australia, maybe it happens because after Sunderland has... kept some kind of contact down there, but I couldn't guarantee you the name you just mentioned. So I don't know.
We were testing it. It was a while ago. Let you go, Louis. Just as we do, we also get text messages in here at Real Time at the station, and I have to read this one out to you. It's come from someone who says they went to the 2009 FA Cup final with some mates. They found out their wife was pregnant that day, and he said, I'll name my child after the first goal scorer. We were all barracking, he says, for Branislav Ivanovic. That didn't happen. True to his word, Louis Golan entered the world 9 months later. So there you go. You inspired a newborn.
best first name ever.
Yeah. Louis, so good to talk to you. Thanks for being so generous with your time, and well done on all you achieved, and best luck with the future.
Thank you very much. See you guys.
Louis Sahar there from the south of France, and we need to thank him for staying up, because it's just come out to 9:30 local time over there. So magnificent, Louis Sahar, one of the superstars of world football, and we bid him farewell.